And welcome. You're listening to Art on the Air on WVLP 103.1 FM. This is our weekly program covering arts and arts events in Valparaiso and throughout Northwest Indiana. I'm Larry Breckner of New Perspectives Photography, alongside here with Esther Golden.
Aloha, everyone.
From The Nest in Michigan City. We're your hosts for Art on the Air. Hey, by the way, 2019 underwriters for Art on the Air are Valparaiso's Brouwer Museum and our landlord, Walt Breitinger. And if you'd like to find out more about leasing space in this wonderful historic building, please call Walt at 219-462-5821. That's 219-462-5821. Thank you for your generous support. We also always like to thank Greg Kovac, WVLP's station manager, always here to give us a hand and make
absolutely
things...
absolutely the best.
There we go. Hey, if you're interested in being a guest here or sending us information about your arts-related events, exhibit, or appear as a guest, please email us at artontheairwvlp@gmail.com. That's artontheairwvlp@gmail.com. Hey, our program is rebroadcast here Mondays at 5 p.m. We're always streaming at wvlp.org, so you can hear us on the stream. And you can hear our show archive, and including this show probably later today, at breck.com/AOTA. That's breck, BRECH.com/AOTA. And you can hear all of our show archives from the past. Hey, by the way, our WVLP listeners, you know, we are a community-supported station. And we say this every week. We look for support from not only just individual listeners, but support from underwriters. So if you're interested in being an underwriter of this show, Art on the Air...
gosh, we would love that so much.
Yes. Or even the station as a whole, you can go to wvlp.org/support. We have underwriter levels at different levels. And what we'll do is we'll mention you right along with our show or throughout the broadcast day. So like I always say, you know, WVLP.org/support. Don't be just a WVLP listener. Be a supporter, because don't give till it hurts. Give till it feels good. And Esther's going to tell you about one thing, event we have coming up that's really going to support WVLP coming up on Sunday.
It is Stars Over Valpo. It's a wonderful musical review featuring the best local talent around, and it's a family-friendly event, and it's a chance not only to hear great music, but also an opportunity to catch up with old friends and acquaintances and support the radio station. So it's like a triple hooray. It's 6 to 8 p.m. Sunday, April 14th, coming up at the Duesenberg Recital Hall in the Valparaiso University Center for the Performing Arts on the VU campus. It's right near the chapel. And It's completely to raise funds for this community-supported radio station. The cost is $20 per ticket. You can call 219-476-9000 or email us at info@wvlp.org. Any radio show host also has tickets, and I have tickets at the Nest. Just contact any of us. We'll be happy to set them aside for you. They can be there at the door waiting for you. So give us a call.
I assume there's going to be tickets at the door also.
There will be tickets at the door,
of course.
So if you show
up last minute, you can get tickets at the door. And there'll be a lot of your favorite WVLP hosts there. By the way, some new news. We're also being carried right now in podcast form at WIUN Red Hawk Radio. That's at Indiana University Northwest. Now, right at present, they're not scheduling us because they're working on their actual schedule and everything. But they are going to be featuring some of our past shows and even our current shows. So we are looking to expand our coverage from WVLP with other stations that will ally with us. So we're working on that so we can get greater
getting
coverage.
Getting
to know you. On a sad note, and this is kind of a personal one, but it's one that affects the Northwest Indiana theater community and music community, Patricia, otherwise known as Trish Hales, passed away on Tuesday, age 63. She has been involved with musical theater as a vocal coach. She has taught at IUN. She was currently a lecturer at Purdue. A fantastic musician. She's been well known. I've known her since the 1980s, had the privilege of working with her on numerous productions throughout that time. It's a tragic loss for the Northwest Indiana theater community. And, you know, we mourn her loss, but we also celebrate her life. She has touched so many people. We have a special Facebook page set up about that right now, remembering Trish and everything like that. By the way, if you're interested in attending her funeral, it's going to be Saturday, April 20th. 9 to 11 will be the wake. 11 p.m. is the service. That's at the Grace Baptist Church in Gary. And so anyway, shout out to Trish. You touched so many lives, and just wanted to make sure we mention that today. She's just an absolute wonderful human being, and not only talented, but modest. So anyway, we're going to move on with our arts calendar. In Porter County at the Brower Museum, we have the Juried Art Student Exhibition and Senior Showcase, and we had them on last week. That is going to be going to run through May 12th, and so you'll see all the student artwork from all the year, the senior projects and everything. It was a great interview we had last week with one of the students that's featured in that, and also we talked a little about his cultural coming from Holland to the United States and speaking almost with virtually no accent.
I know.
Probably
I
better
know.
English than a lot of people speak here in the States.
And Liz Werfel was just very
Liz
interesting
is wonderful.
And yes.
Yes, great interview. Village Gallery at the Pines will now feature watercolorist Lee Bauman. She's going to be calling A Symphony of Color, and that opened April 14th, will be running through May 16th. They'll have already had their reception there at Pines Village Circle. They usually feature one artist every month, so you can see different artists at the event, and it's open to the public to come in there. Chesterton Arts Center, they'll be doing their Art Sweet Art during the month of April. The exhibit will kick off with an opening reception, which they've already had, and the graduating high school seniors who will also be doing art is, by the way, there's a special thing going on, which is deadline is today, but the information's out there, but I want to make sure we hit it. Anyone that's majoring in art or art education, Chesterton Art Center is offering the Gloria Rector Memorial Scholarship. It's for $1,000. So if you're hearing this, get in touch with the Chesterton Art Center to apply for this scholarship. Art Barn, they continue with their children's exhibit through the end of the month, April 27th, and they have all the features of their children, art and art going on there. So come on, celebrate the art that has been made throughout the year, ages 5 through 18. It's a great. You can find out artbarnindiana@gmail.com. By the way, they're looking for their juried art exhibit May 18th through June 27th. They're going to have mixed media drawing. Sorry, no photography. Freestanding three-dimensional media. I'm going to put that in every
time. I know
time.
You do.
I just want to make sure maybe they might revise their thinking on that. So early submissions are going through April 20th. If you can also submit up through May 1st, contact them. They also continue with their open mic performances. Their next one is April 26th and everything. Art Z, Fine Art.
Can I interject
sure
something
can.
For the Art Barn?
Sure.
They have started that open mic, so please go out there, support the Art Barn and Tim Rounds doing the open mic.
Oh, yeah, I have that on the list. I just kind of blew past that. But April 26th is the next one that they have an opal mic. Artsy Fine Arts and Antiques in Chesterton, they'll be doing a large canvas pour with Carrie Sokowski. And it's anyway from beginning to intermediate level. The fee is $50. Includes instruction supplies, light snacks, and beverages. Yes, you can get those alcoholic beverages if you're over 18 or 21.
Oh,
21. But the event is open to anyone over 18. That's Saturday, April 27th. From 1 to 3 p.m., there's a limit of 15 people. So that's what we've got going on in Porter County. We're going to kick it over to Esther to see what's going on in LaPorte County.
Yay, LaPorte County. Thaddeus C. Gallery, located in downtown LaPorte at 822 Lincoln Way, has hours Tuesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Their telephone number is 219-326-8626. The website is ThaddeusC.com and Thaddeus C. Gallery on Facebook. Lubeznik Center for the Arts. Nature versus Everything is their exhibit, and it runs through June 8th and features 9 contemporary artists in a new environmentally minded exhibit that explores the perilous battle between humanity and the natural world. There's also a large scale installation in the Susan Block Gallery on the second floor. It starts with an animated video of a charcoal-drawn landscape with its inhabitants and extends into 3 colorful dimensions so that the viewer becomes part of the art. April 27th from 1 to 5 p.m., it's the second Zine and Small Press Fest 2019. 30 independent authors, publishers, artists, 7 activists, free admission, and it's a fabulous time. Last year was so much fun. It was so exciting. I'm so looking forward to it this year. Southern Shore Art Association. The gallery is located at 724 Franklin Street, and they are open Friday, Saturday, and Sunday from 12 to 5 p.m. Their April exhibit is Everyday Life in My World, and it runs through April 28th. And Larry, how many pieces?
I have four pieces in that one.
Wonderful. You can visit their website, southernshoreartassociation.com, or their Southern Shore Art Association Facebook page. SFC Gallery at 607 Franklin Street will be exhibiting the watercolors of Pat Herman and Julia Holmas. SFC is also a framing shop, and Christina is an knowledgeable artist and framer, and their website is sfcgallery.com and on Facebook, SFC Gallery.
And they're coming on next week with us, both Ryan and Christina.
Yeah, that'll be good. Rising Phoenix Gallery at 2803 Franklin Street will have an April... Their current exhibit is Out of the Forest, and it's artists working in the medium of wood. Their hours are Monday, 10 to 4 p.m., Wednesday and Thursday, 10 to 4 p.m., Friday and Saturday, 10 to 6 p.m., and Sunday, 11 to 4 p.m. They can be reached at 480-216-2583. Their website is risingfhxgallery.com, so it's R-I-S-I-N-G. phxgallery.com, and the Facebook page is the Rising Phoenix Gallery, and look out for their very interesting classes. Blink Contemporary Art at 1709 Franklin Street. Yay, our guests today, Suzanne Cohen Lang and Rick Lang. They're exhibiting new work. Suzanne has her Uprooted Hands, and Rick has his Dead Flowers exhibit. So we'll be talking to them more about that and their very exciting upcoming exhibit. So, yay. Next we have, something, the late breaking our email got used.
I know. Yay. Well, actually not our email. They sent it to me directly? My Facebook page.
All right. However, it gets to us.
We'd love to hear your information about art or art events.
It's true. So it's Manhattan at the Mansion at Barker Mansion, Saturday, April 27th. And it's featuring the American Songbook. The music is by Steve Champagne and Mary E. Rapier. Dan Mosier will be there, and they're featuring David Lam.
Lam.
Okay.
You say Lam, I say Lam.
Oh my gosh, it's a song. VIP Manhattan Tastings by the Brewery Lodge. Tickets available through Eventbrite, and the tickets range from $25 to $40. At The Nest, located at 803 Franklin Street, we're exhibiting the work of over 20 local and regional women artists, Suzanne Cohen Lang being one of them. And we were so lucky to have part of her new exhibit featured in our gallery as well. So we have both 2D and 3D work, plus a film of a live performance by Elise Kermani. And this will be the last week for this exhibit, so please come in and see it. Our next exhibit is the photography of Joel Brussel, and it's titled The Somewhere Else of Being Here. And we'll talk more about that as it gets closer to that exhibit time. And, now to our list of happenings. So weekly on Sundays from 1 to 3 is Oil Painting Plus with Michelle Weiser. The first Monday and third Monday of each month is the Singing Sands Toastmasters. The next meeting is coming up April 15th. The guests are always welcome. Be a better communicator and leader with Toastmasters. April 20th and every third Saturday of the month, we have the Every Kind of Talent Show with Captain Ambivalent. And Captain, he's the master of ceremonies, and this is vaudeville meets show and tell meets open mic. You have a talent we're sharing, and you just need a terrific variety show to share it in. We're always looking for magicians, dancers, filmmakers, actors, comedians, poets, storytellers, solo or group musicians, TED Talkers, visual artists. We mean every kind of talent. We want to see it. Sign up ahead to guarantee a spot, but there's also sign up the night of performance, pending time and space. On April 20th at 3 p.m., we'll be hosting the third year of our poetry contest in collaboration with the Center for Creative Solutions to celebrate World Creativity and Innovation Week with a presentation of poems written by local students K through 12. Award certificates will also be given at this event. We have tickets available for the Swale Music Fest 2019 in Michigan City on Saturday, June 8th from 1 to 10 p.m. $15 presale, $20 at the gate. I have tickets at The Nest. It's free for children 12 and under. And again, once again, I'm going to say we also all have tickets for the WVLP Presents Stars Over Valpo. And I'm just going to read some of the names of the people who are going to be performing. Justin Sumler, John Dorado, The Blues Project, Melissa Latronica, The Hot Rod Heathens, Ron Buffington, Jimmy Chaddock, Mitch Bright, Carolyn and the Poncho Rodeo, Rodea, Brian Lubeck. I heard Captain Ambivalence, Stop, Drop, Rewind. The list just goes on and on. So please support WVLP and purchase this $20 ticket and help us stay on the air. Now, the Nest details on Facebook page, The Nest Michigan City. The best way to reach is thenestmichigancity@gmail.com. And our hours are Thursday through Saturday, 2 to 6 p.m., but we're usually open later. And the telephone is 219-262-5200. I would suggest emailing ahead to be sure we're open. As always, other times by arrangement. And there we go for LaPorte County,
Wow,
Larry.
A lot of things going on in LaPorte County.
Yeah, LaPorte's a hopping place.
Yes. Well, now we're moving on to Lake County. 119th Street Artists are sponsoring their Under 18 show. They'll be running through May 4th. It opened on April 9th at the Cornerstone Art Gallery. That's in the Centier Bank at the corner of 119th Street and New York Avenue in Whiting. This is the participation for Under 18 and everything. You can find out information about that. By the way, they do have two more upcoming exhibits before they close. Because Centier Bank is taking over the space, so the gallery space will close in after October. But in May and June, they'll have their open concepts and compositions, so it's open to all. We'll have more information about the information. They may be on their website, which is at 119thstreetartist.org, and they'll post the call for art on that. And their final show will be September-October, Sarah Peak Congre. She has very, very moving things. She went through a whole cancer survival thing, and it's actually influenced her art. So she'll be there September-October, and then 119th Street Artists and Cornerstone Gallery will close. And so they're looking maybe for a different venue or someplace else to go. Again, you can find out information at 119th Street Artists.
Do you have any, do you know if there are any prospects? Or are they,
Working on it. And if not, they're looking at having their artists maybe join other groups. I've actually talked to Caitlin, who is the current president. So they're not sure what to do with their assets and things like that. So they're still working through it, their last board meeting. It's kind of sad. One partnership that could exist is the Studio 659 Gallery, also in Whiting, because there's a lot of crossover between those two galleries, so that might be part of what can happen. So sad to hear that, but it's real tough, as Esther knows, having a gallery, and our guests also know that.
Yeah.
South Shore Arts in Munster, at the Center for Visual and Performing Arts, my old stomping grounds in the 90s when I was there for the theater, they're going to be sponsoring what's called Arts on the Table Talk. And what that's going to be is the first one on April 25th, it's at noontime, they'll discuss feedback from the community about what the South Shore Arts are doing, what they think, and it's also lunch will be provided. You do have to RSVP. On the 26th, because as you know, they also are the parent organization of the Northwest Indiana Symphony, they'll be doing much the same thing for the symphony, both on noontime. They want to hear feedback about what's going on with the light lunch. You need to RSVP to Donna Catalano by April 22nd. You can find her number online and at their website, but you can also 219-836-1839. That's 219-836-1839 to reserve your place to give them feedback. By the way, in their gallery, they continue with Haunts, which will run through April 21st. So it's just about ready to close out there, about one more week. So if you haven't seen it, it was curated by John Kane, and it's an exploration of all the degenerated buildings. I call them guerrilla photographers. They go into these buildings, like in Gary, the old Methodist church and everything. And I've said this before, a weekly, Dennis Crane did an extremely moving drone sequence of the teardown of the Twin Towers and the Star Plaza Theater. And it was just remarkable to see that in color. But these photographers that go in there, some of them go in with very limited photography equipment. It's more about the expression of what's going on. That'll be going on through April 21st. The Atrium Gallery are celebrating birds. Sure, Kimberly Beck, Sue Gambas, and of course Christina Kanowski. She's going to be there, and that will be running through June 16th. They'll have an artist reception at the end of May, May 26th, from 1 to 3. Cafe Fresco in Crown Point. They continue with Brianna Mihalovich's "The Region at a Glimpse," and they'll close on April 28th. Southern Shores Artful Garden, also in Crown Point, continues through April 27th. Kasia Sizanowski, "Beyond the White Gardens," and you can see that she's already had her reception. Studio 659, worn out, worn in, well worn, gently used, and handled lovingly, exhausted. That art exhibit continues through the middle of May. Originally, it was extended, only going to go through middle of April, so they're extending it to 2 months. Studio659.org is their website. You can see there they're usually open on weekends, so they're Thursday, Friday from 12 to 7, Saturday 10 to 2, studio659.org. Yes, I do have two pieces in that show. Miller Arts and Creative District. They do now have a new exhibit that will be opening May 3rd. They just came down with the Polaroid exhibit, which was interesting. Camilla Sicarno, Evidence of Time Spent. They'll have their reception, opening reception on their first Friday, May 3rd from 6 to 9. That's at the Marshall J. Gardner Center for the Arts. That's on Lake Street in Gary. And they're usually open Thursday and Friday, 12 to 6, Fridays and Saturdays, 6 to 9, and Sundays, 1 to 4. You can find them at millerbeacharts.org. You also find them on Facebook, and you can find out all information. Meg Roman is really great at running that gallery. Area Artists Association, their exhibit continues at the Indiana Visitor Center at I-80-I-94. That's the Kennedy Avenue exit. It features 15 artists with about 60 pieces from the Area Artists Association. They'll be on display until almost the end of this month. Yes, I do have four pieces in that exhibit, too. And South Shore Artists Cooperative, SLAC, Indifference. And SLAC, by the way, is a artist-run group, and they go to different places. This one is still continuing at the Wild Rose Brewery in Griffith. Dorothy Graydon has three paintings in the show, and, of course, a wide variety of artists from Northwest Indiana. That continues all the way through this weekend on April 20th, that will close out. And they have a bunch of other call-outs for arts and things like that. So that's what's going on in Lake County. Again, if you're interested in supporting our show, wvlp.org/support. We appreciate that. And remember, now we're being streamed, not exactly at what time we know, by WIUN Red Hawk Radio.
Yay, and thank you.
Yes, and we're hoping to expand that. Well, we now are getting to our guests. Oh, do we still
have
time
dynamic
for them?
Duo.
Yes, the dynamic duo from the Blink Contemporary Art Gallery, Susan Cohen Lang and Richard Lang. We'd like to welcome you to our studio for Art on the Air.
Well, thanks.
Thank you.
Well, let's first of all start with you, Suzanne. Let's talk a little bit about where you're from, how you got here, and your whole background, so our listeners know a little bit about you.
Oh, my God. How much time have you got?
You know what? We can do another hour after
yes.
this.
Well, I'm from Chicago. I've got a couple degrees in sculpture. I taught at Columbia College for 30 years, started their master's program in the interarts, and I guess 10, 12 years ago, we came out here, bought a building, and 10 years ago, we opened Blink Gallery, which is really Rick's studio and a gallery, so it's an unusual combination of studio, gallery, and community center. Not quite the community center that Esther runs, but, you know.
No, no.
It's a hangout.
You know, I remember when, the awning or, like, the front, the facade that you put on, it was so exciting. We couldn't wait to see what was happening. It was, like, tingles. And
This awning she's talking about is a corrugated metal awning.
Yeah, it's true. Corrugated sheet metal.
The ones that we priced were so expensive, we thought, we can do that.
Oh, it's so cool.
We don't need no
really
cloth
well.
Awning.
Yeah.
So.
Columbia College. So how'd you come to Northwest Indiana? I mean, you bought the gallery, but you live in Northwest Indiana, or you're from Chicago originally? But
well, you know, Southsiders, before air conditioning, I'm very old. Before air conditioning, Southsiders came to Michigan City. Northsiders went to Lake Geneva. And when Rick and I were looking to maybe get out of the city and buy a place at, you know, sort of away from the density, we live right by Wrigley Field. You want to talk dense? So we were thinking about where did we want to go, and we came out here, and Rick said, this beach makes Malibu look like crap. Let's buy a place
it's a
out
area
here.
That I was not familiar with at all, you know. And it's very close to Chicago. And it was just easy to get here and very cost-wise for us, really.
Yeah, we have a lot of, we're seeing from Illinois, even now, people moving to Indiana, finding the cost of living is so much less, and the quality of life is really, I mean, this is something I always say, not to get off the subject, but if you take Northwest Indiana as a whole, there's about 700,000 people there. That's about the size of Indianapolis. So we really do deserve our own level of art and broadcasting and things like that. So, yeah, not to get off the subject
Well,
there.
We're out here about 80% of the time and 20% in Chicago because our studios are here, so this is where we do our artwork, and the gallery's here. So.
And you have a place to stay when you're out here also.
Yes. Yeah, we bought a house 25 years ago.
Okay.
And the house, as a matter of fact, this summer it'll be 100 years old. We'll have a birthday party for the house.
Wow.
It was an old,
we'll be
old
there.
Inn.
If it stays upright.
Yeah. It's a 100-year-old house. It was an old inn.
Yeah.
The Dune fantastic. Peak.
We'll bring our own paint and we'll shore it up with more
the paint.
Paint
pizza party and celebrate. There we go.
Paint is what's holding it up at this point.
Really? Yeah. But it's great. I mean, the grandchildren love it, and you know, the whole family comes out for holidays and for the summer, and it's been a wonderful, wonderful place. We have a whole group of friends out here. Actually, we have more friends here now than in Chicago, which is very odd. It happens.
Now, Richard, tell us a little bit about your background, too.
Yeah, I was born in Chicago, but I grew up in western Illinois in a small town called Kewaunee.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, a real small town, and so a little bit different upbringing, you know, just running around wild out in the woods and stuff. But then I ended up coming back to Chicago. I taught at Loyola University for 20 years, and I taught a little bit at Columbia. And then when we retired, you know, we were doing art. I just did art my whole life, really. Trying to do a gallery or studios in Chicago, very expensive because of the price of real estate, you know. And we came out here, and I thought, man, we could do the whole thing out here so much cheaper. And we had the house out here, so we came out and bought the building through paying rent on studio space. It's such a great relief after my whole life I spent on rent for studio space. Out here, you can get the building, and you're done.
And we're so appreciative you did. Blink has, over the last 10 years, has shown just the most incredible artists, and the shows are just brilliant, and
we try to show not just Chicagoans. I mean, we show La Porte and Valpo and
Texas,
Cleveland. I mean, we get people from all over the place, you know, and it's really, it's been fun, and like Esther knows, running a gallery is tough.
Right.
You know, it's like,
and you guys participate in the First Friday thing?
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
I don't think I have to plead I'm guilty. I haven't been down there.
I tend
to go just as far as Esther's south, and I just haven't done that. So yeah. So I see you both were at Columbia College. Did you happen to know Peter LeGrand?
Of course.
Okay. Well, I remember taking several figure photography classes from him. He's just a remarkable photographer.
Lovely guy.
Great guy. Really I'll tell nice you guy. What. He's fantastic. I know in the workshop we shot, actually, this is before digital, on Polaroids with the models. And then we developed it right there so we could actually look at that and everything. So great guy. So that's off the subject, though. So you came to Blink Gallery, and that's been open how long?
10 years.
10 years.
10 years ago.
It's going on 11 now, really. Time flies, you know, when you're...
Stop it. I'm sticking at 10.
That's okay.
It.
That's it.
But our upcoming show is going to be really interesting. It's called Artists Do Artists, and we invited 15 artists and us. So it'll be 17 people. To do a piece of work that is an homage to someone who influenced us or inspired or mentored. Because people are always asking, where do you get your ideas? And, of course, it's a lifetime of looking. But there's always one or two artists that really inspire you. And so we thought, well, let's try it. People are going to do really interesting things.
It's not that they're copying that person's work, you know, but they're affected. I'm affected by a lot of different.
Yeah, who's your art crush? Who did you?
This one that I'm doing for the show is Jim Dine.
Oh.
But now my work is much more abstract. That would be a different artist now, but. I always liked Jim Dine stuff, you know, and I thought, I can do that. Well, I can't quite do it, but.
And what about you?
Actually, I'm doing Martin Puryear. He's a great American sculptor, all wood. Martin has the unique ability to combine the ancient craft of woodworking and his African heritage with completely abstract work that you want to touch and feel. And of course, guards always slap my hand because I do touch it. And you're not supposed to in a museum. You know?
It should be noted that Suzanne is a sculptor and I'm a two-dimensional artist. So that's why we're still probably together at this point.
Well, by the way, you are listening to Art on the Air. Suzanne Cohen-Lang and and Richard Lang. It's WVLP 103.1 FM, also streaming now on WIUN Red Hawk Radio. So we're happy about that. So anyway, that way you have a very compatibility if you're three-dimensional versus two-dimensional. So.
And we don't fight that way.
There's well, that's no good. Or critique each other.
We do critique each other.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, yeah. We do.
How does that work?
How does it work? You know...
I have to be careful on this one.
Okay.
No, generally, we ask each other for opinions. Yeah. I mean, he'll come into my studio and go, I don't know about that one. And I will either listen or I won't. Mm-hmm. Sure. And I'll go into his studio and say, oh, honey, I love the gold. And he'll say, oh, you know, I hate the gold. Well, there you go.
Suzanne takes criticism better than I do.
I have to say, I love the yellow, that bright yellow in this show. Just is
I love
like
it.
So.
Yeah.
And the gold touches were the really gold, so, yeah.
But, you know, talking about this next show that we're about to do, what's really interesting are people that have stepped up to the plate, like Greg Hertzlieb.
Oh, I love Greg.
Greg used to run this show, I think.
He did.
And he's the curator at the Brouwer Museum.
Former host of the show, too.
Former host of the show. When we first sent it to him, he was like, oh, I don't know. And then apparently the Brouwer got some Japanese prints. And he was so inspired by them that he did this whole new body of work, and we're going to have one of them inspired by these Japanese prints.
Wow.
And, you know, Patty Carroll, who's a wonderful photographer, brilliant photographer, she's doing this thing based on Andy Warhol. So it's going to be really
It's going to be great.
Just fascinating.
I hope so, yeah. Yeah, we never know. When we ask, we know the artist, and we usually know their work, but when we have this idea for the show, we really don't edit it.
You know,
they give us what they want, so we're kind of out there with that, you know.
Kind of artist curated, so to speak.
Yes. So it has made for some interesting shows over the course of the years.
You know? I think I've seen some of the work you talk about with Greg. He's posted on Facebook and everything, and a few things, and I'm like, and that seemed like a whole different direction for him. So he's coming on in a few weeks also.
He is.
In June 7th, I think.
Yeah, he's a wonderful artist.
He is a wonderful
really
artist.
A wonderful artist.
And so interesting.
So we've got a huge range of people. What's interesting is that...
How do I get on that list?
You give him the business card like I did.
That's right. What's interesting is it's almost like a retrospective of the 20th century art isms.
Mm-hmm.
You know, somebody's doing David Hockney, someone else, Miriam Shapiro, Gerhard Richter, German, Japanese prince, Andy Warhol, Martin Puryear, someone is doing Auguste Rodin.
Oh my God!
Rodin's nudes, which
a
is
a lot of these
really
people, not our artists, but the people that they're doing are still alive. They're
sure,
contemporary. Our gallery is very contemporary gallery, you know, except for Rodin, of course, who's long gone.
and
Andy Warhol's gone too.
And Sherry Antonini's doing Merritt Oppenheim. Merritt Oppenheim was a surrealist woman, surrealist. Who did a fur-lined teacup, which
Brilliant.
Is a classic piece, yeah. image that you'd find at the Art Institute. And I don't know what she's doing. I think she's probably going to bring in a fur dress. Who knows? That's what's fun.
It is.
We don't know what's going to come
in
the door.
We're trying to make it like an educational experience, too, for guests that come in. They can see the artwork. Then there's going to be a little picture of the artist that this person is, or the person
inspired by.
So maybe they can ask questions. We might have some books there of these artists, you know, and that might help people understand
how the process happens sometimes.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good movable art
piece. I really believe that art galleries, art centers, and art museums have an obligation to teach.
I agree.
I mean, they cut the arts out of the public schools 50 years ago. And it's really a shame because a visual literacy, unfortunately, is sort of limited to television. And, oy, think about that.
Yeah.
Anyway, don't get me started.
No, you're right. It's unfortunately, the arts have not been supported in public schools like they should. And I come from a public school background. I was the auditorium and theater director for the school town of Munster for 16 years, at Highland for 13 years, and I worked at the Center for Visual and Performing Arts for years. But, yeah, I understand. In fact, I was kind of a part of that cut, well, of course, that was more of a, our superintendent says, oh, you're too high paid. We need to cut you from your theater program and get someone cheaper in, which is essentially what happened. But you're right. I think it's important in education to have all the arts, music, art, theater, because it's so enriching to these students. And you know very well that these people will not necessarily become artists. But I use Steve Jobs as a great example. Steve Jobs studied like calligraphy and things like that. So when he was developing the Apple Mac computer, he instead of just having plain like simple text, he introduced the whole idea of fonts and actually went back to an old professor. And it was because of that art background that we have some of the fonts that we have today. And that's a simple thing, but you can see that influences so much.
We need
you
imagination.
Have 12 years of English. 12 years of math, 12 years of science. People don't become mathematicians or scientists, and yet somehow or other it's okay to give them 12 years of that. And maybe a year of art, if you're lucky.
Or a semester.
A semester of music, if you're lucky.
Right.
It's wrong.
Yeah, we try to get people just to come in the door.
Right.
A contemporary art gallery in particular can be off-putting, you know, it's white walls, and they look in the window and they're like, what is that stuff?
Sure.
You know, there's no...
Right, there is that intimidating
factor. Yeah, there's no dune and there's no sailboat. I'm not sure I'm going to walk in there. Even though I'm usually in there working, I'm like, come in, you know. And they'll ask questions about the material and about where you get an idea. And that's part of that education thing, to get them in the door, you know.
Why do people do what they do? Why do artists do what they do? And then how, of course.
Sure.
The how.
But, and that's what people always ask. Well, how long did this take? Well, Rick's answer is 70 years.
Right. Yeah, that's how long it took.
But that's because if people have never made anything, they have no idea. You know, years ago, people used to make things.
Oh, yeah.
People made clothes.
They
people
made the
tinkered
cloth.
On people tinkered on tractors and cars.
When you were a kid, we made things out of cardboard and stuff.
Right. Now... it's all a screen. Children are sitting in front of a screen. They're not making anything. So people don't even know that you can make things. You can write music.
A whistle out of a piece of grass.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like all those experiences are...
Well, and also making things that have a long-term life. My dad was a furniture salesman, but he sold early American furniture that people bought pretty much for life. And he actually was on his fifth generation of... And, of course, now furniture is such a disposable item. You know, it's like you have it for a few years, you toss it and...
Toss it.
Yeah. And so I think that's part of this culture, too, is we've become such a disposable culture.
Yeah. So. Oh, one could get very depressed.
But we don't want our...
We don't want to do that.
We have Blink Contemporary Art Gallery here, and we want to get people in the door and everything like that. Well, we'll ask about this later, but how can they find you on the web, for example?
www.blinkcontemporaryart.com.
That's the site for the gallery.
Gallery.
And both Suzanne and I have our own personal.
Go ahead, tell us
sites.
What those are.
Mine is www.suzannecohan, and that's COHAN, like George M. Cohan, Cohen Lang, LANGE.com.
And
Rick's.
Mine's just www.richardclang@gmail.com.
.com
I mean,
for
dot
the website.
.com, that's the website.
Gmail is your email.
So there's all three of those then are connected too. So
they're all linked.
Yeah.
Very good. So if they went to the Blink site, they can also find your
sure,
linkage.
Yes.
I know that because I already did that, but I want our listeners to hear that
absolutely.
And everything. So this exhibit opens on what, May 3rd? On
first
Friday?
May 3rd.
And artists will be there, I assume.
Oh, of course. And we always have music and food and adult beverages and...
And I think I have to change my opening so I can be at your opening.
Our openings tend to be great fun. They're sort of epic. It was funny because someone was at the last opening. There must have been 150 people in the room, and it's not that big a room. And someone said to someone else, well, where's the art scene in Michigan City? And this artist said, you're in the art scene in Michigan City. This is the art scene. And it's just because we love our artists, and we really do. They're wonderful people, and they're often really good friends. We support them, and they support us.
And these people have been, most of them have been working for years. Last year we had a show called The Master Class, where we had just people who were like, a certain age who had been working for years. You know, they're very
brilliant.
Accomplished
people. Brilliant.
Yeah. That was a wonderful show. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that had really amazing people, Audrey Niffenegger, and I think it's important to encourage young people, but we live in a youth culture. And so every once in a while, it's nice to look back at the people that have been at it for 40, 50, 60 years.
Not
and say,
instant to masters.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. Say, you know, come on, let's look at what you're doing.
Because that's what I love and adore about both of you. You have like a passion for everything. And Suzanne, it's like, it's such a great dynamic between you two because, you know, like I might come with like some bizarre off the wall idea, and Suzanne will be like, yes.
Yeah,
and Rick will be
let's
like,
we've had accordion players, and we've had people read poetry and tell stories and
play guitar.
And
we had a sex talker once.
Oh my gosh, we had all kinds of
stuff. Yeah, Tawana Hines, really. Yeah. She, it's fascinating. She told stories and about sex. And at first I thought, oh my God, is this going to be weird or what? But it was hilarious.
PG.
It was
good.
Sure.
It was just charming. And so we love getting storytellers. As a matter of fact, we should do a storytelling event again. We haven't done that in a while.
Well, those open mics do a lot of that stuff now, I think, too.
Yeah, it's all mashed together in interesting
There's
ways.
There's a lot of that, you know. It's probably easier to get an audience for that kind of stuff than to come in to look at a piece of art.
Well, that's why you have to combine them.
Right.
So you do both visual and performing arts. Esther does that all the time.
That's
the best way to get people in the door.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead and get them in the nest.
Well, the nest, yeah.
Well, and it is true. Michigan City has become such a vibrant art community. I mean, I had a friend, which you met, at Jim, that I brought into your gallery on Friday. Not really an artist. I really didn't know him very well. We are several years apart. You know, he graduated school several years ahead. Anyway, we hooked up on Facebook. He's in town working. So I took him on the Michigan City, kind of a mini tour. And he was so impressed with what was going on there. He said, oh, my gosh, this is so vibrant. And we hit a good number of the galleries, you know, around there. Mm-hmm. And so it does inspire people who are really not artists. You know, and he came to see me at Southern Shore, but then I took him around. So, yeah, you're right. What you're doing at Blink, at what Esther's doing in all the galleries, there's just a synergy that's going on. And it's not a competition. It's a collective, really.
No. Yeah. No, it's our group, I think, I belong to a group in Chicago called 10 Chicago Women Artists. And you would think we'd be competitive, but we're not. Mm. We've been together 14 years. We meet every couple of months and show each other's work. It's a critique group. Because, you know, once you're out of school, there's nobody to, A, give you an assignment.
Right.
And B, there is nobody to tell you if it's any good.
And your work is based on social commentary.
It is, totally.
And so,
I find that maybe artists in New York are highly competitive. It's a very different place. But certainly in Chicago and absolutely out here, we're much more collaborative than we are competitive. It's like, oh, how can I help you? You know, whether it's giving advice on how do you do this particular technique with wax? Mm-hmm. Are you using paraffin, using beeswax? You know, how hot? Odd little tips.
Well, you just were so generous last Sunday showing techniques and what you do.
Casting.
I mean, everybody was so impressed with your sharing of that information.
These techniques, they're not secrets.
Right.
I mean, they shouldn't be secrets. Some artists won't tell you anything. But I, you know, here's the stuff, you can buy it and go do it. You know, if it doesn't work, then change it and do it again. And eventually you'll do it. Yeah.
That's what Jim Dine said.
He said, maybe that.
Yeah. He said, take an object, do something to it. Now do something else to it.
Well, that's what I like about his work. He takes common objects, very mundane, like screwdrivers and hammers, and then he does a beautiful drawing or something of it. Or big bunch of his work, the heart shape. He did a bunch of hearts, and he did a bathrobe. No person in the bathrobe, just the bathrobe, you know.
Yeah.
I kind of like that.
Yeah. Oh, well, his work.
So you try to make art not so special, not like capital A, so it's more inclusive for people.
And more approachable, sure.
Yes, absolutely.
It's great. By the way, you're listening to WVLP, I'm going to the other station, WVLP Art on the Air. We have Susan Cohen Lang with us and Richard Lang talking about the Blink Contemporary Art Gallery. And again, this show will be rebroadcast on Mondays at 5 p.m., and you can hear it at the show archive at Breck, that's BRECH.com/AOTA.
And I know, you did a brilliant job on that.
Oh, thank you so much.
I keep saying it, but I really mean it. It's really...
Well, we wanted to make sure that people, you know, if people can't listen to us as we're broadcasting, they can now hear all the past shows. And WIUN Red Hawk Radio is now carrying our podcast and soon will carry us on a schedule. So
can I'm going to ask questions of each of you about your work. So Suzanne, you are so intuitive. You start work before it becomes socially relevant in the news all the time. You always seem to be just like, you'll start something right, not knowing that this is going to explode in the world.
Well, my work has always been political. I'm much more political than Rick. And it's figurative. It's always been figurative. Those are the only things that really interest me are people, faces, hands, bodies.
Yeah.
You know, I like landscapes. They're very nice, but I just, I don't do that. I do figures.
False idols.
I don't do
abstract
work. False idols.
I love that work.
Yeah, I did that years ago.
Yeah, I know. It's just really, but it holds up.
You know,
even
what
without
happens
the political
is if you
context.
Look at who's on the cover of magazines and the fact that people, especially young people, seem to worship, you know, celebrities, even though they haven't done anything yet. They're just sort of celebrities. Like, you know, remember Paris Hilton and... People like that. They didn't do anything, and yet they were celebrities. So I began doing a series of ancient gods and goddesses on magazine covers. So I had Athena's new shoes on, on Ms. Yeah, and
I can't remember who was on Vogue. I love that.
The Winged Victory of Samothrace
was
on Vogue.
That's right. It was such great work.
And now I'm doing Uprooted People, and I started doing those right before we began, you know, ripping children away from their parents at the border, because it's a universal. It's not just at our border. It's in China. It's in Syria, Palestine, everywhere. People are being uprooted. Probably the biggest migration since World War II. What happens when you're forced to leave your homeland?
Well, this last show, Suzanne's Uprooted People, these sculptural images with roots coming out of them, and my work, which was dead flowers, these kind of dead flowers, people were like, oh, well, you had this all planned so you could have the same kind of... But we didn't. Mm-hmm. And then we noticed, gee, these are kind of related, you know, a little bit. The dead flowers were as close to political as I can probably get, you know. It had to do with... We're not very nice to each other anymore. We're not, you know, giving anybody flowers. We're giving them, here, take a dead flower.
You know?
And so that's what I was doing. And then the two seemed to meld together without being obvious, you know.
It is true. It must be from, you know, being married for decades. But the work does seem to work together. And that's always amazing to us, because I work in my studio, he works in his, and when we put it all together at Blink, we go, interesting.
Yeah, it works beautifully.
Yeah, sometimes it fits together nicely, you know.
So I love so many of your series of work, like the puzzle work is I will never get tired of that. It's just so amazing.
I did find some more of those.
Did you?
They have your name on it, yeah.
Yay. And so, but it's very different. So you have the like the large ouch series.
Yeah,
now that
yeah.
was that's more.
That was more. That was at the beginning of what I felt the country was going through. You know, ouch. You know, and they were just angular kind of things. They're just coming back from a show in Dixon, Illinois. I'm picking them up today. And then the new stuff is more lyrical. It's not, there's artists, people think you're going to do the same thing all the time.
Yeah.
Some do, but many do not, particularly someone like Gerhard Richter. Wildly different stuff, you know. One will be a portrait of a woman or something, and the next one would be just a bunch of paint globbed all over everything. So you don't have to do the same thing all the time, I don't think. That's kind of the way I like to work, you know, it's whatever.
Well, you work in series.
I work in series. Like right. I've got about 18.
Right. So memoir. What is memoir about?
Memoir was a more of austere work. Mm. Like when people saw the memoir stuff, and then they see these dead flowers, it's like two different people did that, you know. Right. But for me, it's not. Sometimes I'll look back at my work and think, gee, did I do that? But I was good then, you know. What happened?
I mean, even with the title Dead Flowers, it's very hopeful under all of that, yeah. You know. It's
they still came out looking, I wouldn't say beautiful.
They are beautiful.
They are beautiful.
He's incapable of making
they
work
are
that's not beautiful.
Beautiful.
No matter how hard he tries, he cannot do work that's not beautiful. Actually, Rick, memoir and most of your work are based on shapes from your memory. Your father's decoys, fishing lures.
My father was a Illinois River decoy carver, and I still have the patterns, which they don't look like ducks. They're abstract.
Right.
You know, because a carpenter will just do, you know, one piece and then retrace it. And I started doing those objects like that. And then I did objects from clothing patterns.
Yeah.
Which are also abstract to you.
Sure.
Sew it all together, then you've got a suit jacket.
And meat it's cutting kind of, patterns.
Yeah. And I like that. I like that not letting everything out of the bag right off the bat, you know.
It's kind of interesting because puzzle and memoir is similar, but memoir is very fragmented, you know. Mm-hmm. It's just where puzzle mm-hmm. seems much more, has more organization to it.
Like, right, yes. Yeah. Yeah, I like that.
I like them both.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't
like
think
cover
I could.
Stuff up secretive, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that's about, but when I get older, I'll go to psychotherapy or something.
In your spare time, right?
That's what art historians
that's
are for.
What it's for, yeah.
They will look at the work and say, oh, you were clearly influenced by. And you say, oh, thank you.
Sure, why not?
Yeah, whatever you say, sure.
Or they'll ask you how long. I do use different things on the canvas that aren't compatible sometimes. So they say, well, how do you know that's going to last? Is that going to fall off there or something like that? Well, usually the modern stuff is acrylic in particular is plastic. It's going to last certainly my lifetime.
Right.
You know, and after that, then that's what we have conservators for. They can work on it. And
or that, you know, it's like it. A time bomb. It will like
yeah,
be something
yeah.
else.
It
then
might.
When it...
Hopefully I won't be around when that happens. You know.
You get the phone call. Oh, my yeah, gosh, the right corner
the
just fell off.
It can happen. Yeah.
It can happen. So it happens with my stuff because I work with wood.
Okay, yes.
And roots. And it's often very fragile. As a matter of fact, lately, instead of using real roots, I'm using rubber roots because real roots, you just touch them and they break. Once, you know, they dry out,
sure,
they're very, very fragile. So,
and it's a panic for gallery people, like
oh,
when
dude.
Something like that comes
right.
in and you go like,
oh, my
please
God,
don't
it's
touch
broken.
That.
Don't touch it. Yeah. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to do that to people. But it doesn't matter whether I'm working in glass or wood or paper, metal. Now I'm as I say, roots, and I've been doing a lot of work with veneer, birch veneer, that I'm adhering to a form, and then adding wax.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't really matter. It's stuff is stuff.
Right.
The important thing is the ideas. I see no hierarchy in materials. You know, that whole thing that, you know, we were taught, well, there's sculpture, and then there's painting, and then there's printmaking, and then there's drawing, and then down at the bottom is crafts, you know,
ceramics,
clay and ceramics.
Yes.
And
photography's
please.
Down there somewhere, too, at the bottom.
Yeah, yeah. Wait on
me. Yeah. Oh, shut up.
Too new.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. It's only
I know the feeling.
But now the tide is shifting and everything is. It's so nice because I do remember saying, somebody telling me, well, what you do is craft, like it was a disease or something, you know?
It's like a disease, it's you're right. Like, yeah. Well,
I'm
told
a painter,
me
that. You know, yeah.
Actually, someone who I will not even name because he's too famous. I did once a show called Little Black Dresses, and I had 100 of these forms. And I had the show at IUN. And Gary.
Okay.
And I work with, I often work with a videographer and a poet. And so the three of us had this huge installation called Little Black Dress. And it was all about what women do to stay alive and current and hip and good-looking and important and relevant. And these 100 ladies were all covered with different things, you know, whether they were covered with, you know, feathers or sequins or steel balls or screws. It, you know, they were types. And this famous artist came in and said, oh, well, this is feminist craft.
Oh.
Okay. Thank you for sharing. You know. What are you going to do?
Yeah, the line between that is my wife, besides doing photography, but she does, she makes cards, gift cards. But what she uses, she does use rubber stamps. But in fact, when I talked with my stepdaughter, what'd she do? Dum, dum, dum. And I said, no, she actually hand paints the stamps and then puts together a composition. Oh. And I know Dale Popovich, who we had in the show, he wants to come over and buy some more of her cards because they really are works of art. She doesn't get them out in marketing. I said, honey, you need to get them. But yeah, a lot of people would consider that a craft, but I think it's really art. I mean, she has a whole little studio, and the way she puts things together is just amazing. And then she uses things like you.
I have to say, the word craft has been denigrated, but the great craftsmen of the world, like right. Martin it's, Puryear,
yes.
You know, I mean, if you don't have great craftsmanship, the work falls apart and looks like
sure.
You know what. So I just hate the fact that they've denigrated the word craft because,
right.
Boy, go to Europe and take a look at some of those church wood
craftsmen.
Carvings,
yes.
And the craftsmanship will blow you
yes.
away.
Well, same with textile. I started as a textile artist, and so you didn't even want to say that at all.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah. Oh,
gosh.
Oh. Yeah. Women's work.
And it's only now mm-hmm. just becoming validated. That,
yeah.
Yeah.
So what's the future for your gallery? What do you have, like, you know, a year from now, 2 years from now? What?
Well, you know, after this show, the artists do artists, then maybe a photography show.
And then we're also thinking about doing a show called Nature Mort.
Okay.
About the death of nature. Not from the angle that the Lebesnik Center has done, because that one is so stunning and so comprehensive. But perhaps a more private version of people's notion of nature mort. Liz Werfel, who teaches
mm-hmm. Oh, we had her on last week.
Oh, she's a wonderful, wonderful artist. You should check out her work. She also was one of my graduate students at Columbia back
in the
gosh.
Day.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Small world.
But her work is really, really interesting and often deals with nature mort. So, you know,
well,
stay tuned.
Yeah, the ideas sometimes come or the theme comes, and then we try to, do we know anybody that does stuff like that? You know, it's like the photography thing. All of a sudden we've got 6-7 people.
Photographers.
That,
yeah, not hard to find.
Yeah, yeah.
And a wide variety in photography everywhere. You know, it's art and a craft, you know, like we were just talking about. So and you have to get it to a certain level of craftsmanship to get the levels. I mean, I'm rendering most of my stuff on canvas, and so many people ask me, oh, is this painted? I said, no. But I said, there's a difference between when I render it on canvas and it's a photo. And a lot of times I'll say, no, this is a photo illustration, because I've then explored, I abuse what's called HDR process and put it beyond that. So, well, I think we need to wrap it
from
up here.
iPhone to large format
right.
camera. I mean, it's.
Well, our guests today have been Richard Lang and Suzanne Cohen Lang. We appreciate them being here from the Blink Gallery, Contemporary Art Gallery, and that's in Michigan City. And you've been listening to Art on the Air. We'd like to thank our guests today for being on Art on the Air. It's heard every Friday at 11 a.m., rebroadcast Mondays at 5 p.m. Your hosts are Larry Breckner and Esther Golden. Thanks again to Greg Kovach, our station manager and everything. If you're interested, again, in being a guest on here or sending us information about your arts or arts-related event, exhibit, or whatever, artontheair@gmail.com. That's artontheair@gmail.com. Next week, we have Ryan Wanicki and Christina Nolski from the SFSC Gallery, and they'll be here to talk about that. And Christina will also talk about the upcoming Dunes Birdie Nest.
That'll be so great.
So thank you for listening. And
thank you, and aloha.